What are we? With these vacuity dawns, but this is not a case of taking emptiness and object of the mind. On these occasions, only appearances of true existence arise to an ordinary being who has not cultivated the path. Appearances of non-true existence do not.
更迭，你通过几步，甚至七次他们就来吃呗。七月个多年多呢，每每都除了他们吃肉。
This is because the four empties dawn for all dying sentient beings, and if emptiness were realized during death, everyone would absurdly be effortlessly free from cyclic existence. Now all sentient beings die. If at the time of death emptiness were realized, then you'd have to say that all sentient beings realize emptiness. Now because emptiness is said to be very difficult to realize, and when realized, very important. Then there would be the fault that sentient beings would absurdly be effortlessly free. Ordinary beings experience the clear light of death in the manner of its appearing without being ascertained, not with a mind of ascertainment. That's called mother clear light. Whereas the clear light that dawns through the power of meditation during sleep and during the waking state while on the spiritual path is called sun clear light. Meditation that mixes these two during the clear light of death is called mixing the mother and son clear light. Is the clear light of death in general a fully qualified clear light? Although the mother and son clear lights that are mixed and stabilized within the view by a yogi are a fully qualified clear light. The clear light of death dawns for an ordinary being, not by the power of meditation, but of its own accord. It's a case of imputing the name clear light to just a stoppage of gross, it says gross here, instead of coarse, dualistic appearance. It is not a fully qualified clear light. In general, clear light is of two types. The objective clear light, that is the subtle emptiness, and the subjective clear light, that is the wisdom consciousness realizing this emptiness. Once the exalted wisdom realizing emptiness is posited as the clear light, then this mind of clear light of death is just called, what do you say? It's just imputed to be a clear light. It's just called with the name of clear light, not an actual clear light. These stages of death are brought within the path by the practice of taking death as the truth body in the stages of generation and completion of Pious Yoga Mantra.
Mm-hmm.
they are also the main basis of purification by means of the metaphoric and actual clear lights.
그렇듯이 된다. 제림게 거수 아니 랑체 숨버디 곰발라 알레 칸 람도 치주기 아니 이제 숨버디 치와다 바도다 치와 숨버디 뭐 숨버디 시다 개점으로
at the well, when cultivating well at the time of cultivating the stage of generation there are the three bringings to the path thus it is important to identify these three death intermediate state and rebirth which are being brought to the path
ane zorin ji kapji seven thadu ki pe setans
so then in the stage of completion there is a stage called isolation of mind and semen tartu sena
the semen be kone kondu pen zor da kala julu tingala
at the end of it or at its final point semen tartu be
no
there is the clear light of the final we could say period of that stage called isolation of mind
and then rimba ji be tuen ji be sel
And then there's the actual clear light at the which is the fourth stage.
No. To do kanga long be jaya jaya be ji to de de ni ke chi pa du sum de.
Now the main basis that these two are actually purifying are ke chi pa du sum.
No ke chi pa du sum de.
Are the death intermediate state and rebirth. Therefore, it is very important to understand this. Find out about, ask many people about this thing of staying in it for 3 days. You know, all it says here is tela. Tamobe at the 312, the last line 6. Nobo mina tas sungapadanela. Ordinary humans abide in that tela, which by the drift of what's gone previously, you would have to put as the clear light of death for 3 days. I myself was amazed when I read that. I didn't see how this could possibly be. And so Lai Dongche and I talked about it a lot. And it never seemed to me that he really thought this was the case. It was like new information to him. He didn't say, well, that's new to me or something, but he didn't say, oh yes, that's for sure. I mean, that's why we do such right for this period of time. You know, nothing came like that. And so, you know, I've always felt in writing this down that it's, I didn't see how it could be, but that's why I pressed him today. So now when I go to India, I'll, you know, have to take this text and it's caused me to remember this and take it around and ask various people. I think what he said is extremely sensible and it goes against what the text seems to be saying, but it seems to me to be an ingenious way for making sense out of the text. And it's a very important point. You know. Extremely. Then, let's see if there's some things here. He was just talking about, if you read the end of this book, you can read about the six stages of the stage of generation, of the stage of completion. The six are sometimes boiled down into five. The five are sometimes boiled down into four. It's done by taking the bottom ones, and you know, if you take the first one and just include that in the second, or you take the first two and include that in three, in the third. Now there's a stage called, there are stages called isolation of body, isolation of speech, isolation of mind. about which I've put in etymologies in the back here. They give you some idea of what's going on. But in any case, at the end of the stage of isolation of mind, there's a clear light that appears. Then right after that, there's the actual clear light. It's called Tunku Ursal. Tunku Ursal means the subjective clear light. Tun, you would think, would mean object. But the one before it is Bay Ursal, and the other is Tunku Ursal. Bay is like example or metaphoric clear light. Tunku Ursal is like the metaphorized, the exemplified, the actual clear light. Okay? So I think metaphoric and actual are probably correct there. Now, those clear lights, when you manifest this within ascertaining, not everyone agrees that when we die, it's nanamange. Nanamange means it appears, but it's not noticed. You know, it would be like, sometimes when you listen to a lecture, you must have heard the sounds, but you haven't the faintest idea what the person said. And so let's say at the time the Lama's giving you a special precept, that, you know, you knew you must have heard it, but you don't know what he said. So he's giving you something that could help you a great deal, right? Well, death is like that. It's something that could help you a great deal, but the time passes without your noticing it. This is why I think this statement in here that I took from another book, that ordinary beings develop the fear of being annihilated at the time of the clear light, it's probably wrong. Now I can see where, when it's about to appear, this fear of annihilation must be there, right? And maybe one of the reasons why we become nanamange at the time of actual death is because of our fear. But I think during the actual clear light of death, I don't think you could be fearing, right? Because it's all conventional appearances have disappeared. That means your mind also, fright mind, will disappear too. So what that statement, which I don't know what book it was taken from, but it was taken from one of it's taken from a book that I think has to be based on this book. And so, because it's just this book put into verse by a Mongolian, okay? Gedo Kim. No one Kidu. Is that Kidu? Yeah, it must be. Is that Gedo Kim book? Yes, it is. And he added a few things here and there. Of course, they're then very interesting. So I guess this one of the things was that. Now, one difficulty with the mind of death realizing emptiness, realizing, he keeps using the word realize, is if you realize, you have to realize means the Chetan Thoba, that you have, that you have removed false superimpositions with respect to the object. For instance, with respect to impermanence, the object being impermanent, you have removed permanence, all of the false impositions. You know, realize means you really get at it. Chetan Thoba means you get at it. Now, I remember some conversation about whether emptiness appears, not whether the mind realizes emptiness, but whether emptiness appears to that subtle mind of clear light, of, per se, subtle mind of death. Follow? Because then it could be nanamange. You follow? Now, some people then say that that emptiness doesn't even appear, okay? Like this thought, doesn't appear. That it is a, as he's saying, an interesting description is non-affirming negative, which is a negation of gross dualistic appearance appears. Dawns at that time. But then you could say that emptiness appears, the subtle emptiness appears, but isn't noticed. Now I forget what Ladrinche's position was. That one strikes me as a position that would be easier to hold than that we realize. Now, these minds of clear light, now this is the real clear light then, this subjective clear light, which is the Rinpoche, the fourth of the five stages in the stage of completion of higher cerebral tantra, why are you manifesting it? Why, you know, why are you causing it to become manifest? And you're ascertaining it, you're using it. It is realizing emptiness. You're doing that in order to overcome the afflictive obstructions. In fact, in one moment of the mind of clear light, all of the afflictive obstructions are removed. One moment. So that means not only the artificial obstructions, afflictive obstructions, but also the innate ones too, in one moment of manifesting within ascertainment, the subtle mind. That is one of the features of Higher Shobha Tantra on why it's so fast. However, it said it's not its extra special feature of quickness. It's rather medicine. because it said that hearers and solitary realizers in three lifetimes can't overcome the afflictive obstructions, right? Therefore, this is one moment compared to three lifetimes, and in comparison, that's not very fast. What's really very fast is in the attainment of Buddhahood, of the non-learner's union of clear light and illusory body. Do you follow? And it's really the next stage of the union of impure illusory body. Impure? It's not impure at that time. No, it's not. No. The union of pure illusory body in clear light. While still a learner, that is what goes fast. You mean, if you could then go and become a Buddha, you see, the real fast thing is to become a Buddha in that life. Because it usually countless hands, crazy countless. So those minds of clear light, right, are acting as antidotes. It's really the fourth stage one that is. But now, if they're acting as antidotes, what are they purifying? Well, purifying the afflictive obstructions, but when you get down to it, they're purifying death, intermediate state of. Now, in Deity Yoga, which is the uncommon feature of Tantra, of all four Tantras, one goes through a process of meditating on emptiness, and then taking that mind that realizes the emptiness of oneself and the Deity. My emptiness of inherent existence and the Deity's emptiness of inherent existence are the same. There isn't any difference in subtlety. So this is one type of divine pride, the ultimate divine pride, in which one is reflecting on the fact that one's own ultimate nature and the Deity's ultimate nature are the same. Okay? So within this realization of emptiness, then one takes that mind that realizes emptiness, which is fused with compassion, you could say it compassionately rises in the form of a Deity. Now what this means is that the consciousness is assuming a form. It doesn't mean that it, like taking rebirth, taking some coarse body and so forth, but the consciousness itself appears as a form. So the Deity that then appears is a manifestation of emptiness, you could say. Another way you can say it's a manifestation of the wisdom consciousness realizing emptiness. Emptiness and the wisdom consciousness realizing are fused, right? So therefore, sometimes it says a manifestation of emptiness, sometimes it says a manifestation of wisdom consciousness realizing emptiness. It's probably more helpful to think of it as a manifestation of wisdom consciousness realizing emptiness, conjoined with compassion. Now, when, for instance, an action tantra, one appears as a Deity, one doesn't just appear, but one goes through six stages of appearance. First of all, within this state of emptiness, that wisdom consciousness appears as a moon. No body or anything, just a moon. That moon is placed, as I understand it, where the seat, it becomes eventually the seat of the Deity. Okay? You're just an emptiness. a moon appears. Later on, the deity's ass is going to be sitting on the moon. Okay? This is the way I understand it. I don't believe that this one's at the heart. That's how I mean. Then, at the same time, above that, the wisdom consciousness realizing emptiness manifests as sound, like Om Mani Padme Hum. Sounds, not letters, sounds. So that's the first stage. Then in the second stage, that wisdom consciousness takes the sounds of those letters. What do you say? It's manifesting as the sounds appears in the form of the letters that are put around the moon, Om, you know, around the outside of Om in clockwise, Om Mani Padme Hum. Now the letters face in toward the center of the moon. And the seed letter of the deity, I'm not sure it has to be set in the middle. Rinpoche has explained it as being set in the middle. I'm not sure it has to be. There's no mention of it in the text. But anyway, that's from the Lama's transmission, one gets that. So then it's appearing sound. So that's the second stage. Then, Tomba, Da, Yigi, Suk, Chagya, Tsem, Tomba, La, Yigi, Suk, Chagya, Tsem. Then, within still this, we're actually in the third stage, because the first stage is emptiness, the ultimate deity. The second stage was the sound deity. The moon and the sounds above. The third stage is the letter deity, the letters appearing on the moon. And during that third stage, the letters and the moon emanate out, it's a marvelous thing, emanate out rays of light at the ends of which appear that deity as whom you're going to appear. It's Om Mani Padme Hum, Avalokiteshvara. Just countless, well, many, 100. Forms of Avalokiteshvara appear. Those 100 Avalokiteshvaras in turn emanate offerings, clouds of offerings to be offered to the Buddhist Bodhisattvas and so forth. They emanate other clouds of ambrosia, that or nectar, that rains down on the helpings, hungry ghosts, animals, humans, demigods, gods, giving them whatever they need, transforming the whole world system. Then, those deities, together with they melt back into the beams of light. The beams of light melt back into the letters in the moon. And when they melt in, this turns into the deity. So then you have Avalokiteshvara. I don't really know if you're still sitting on that same moon or that moon disappears. The text seemed to indicate, actually, at that point, that the moon is transformed also. The deities are usually sitting on the moon. I don't know, I have to ask. In any case, then the deity appears in unusual form, having face, arms, and so forth. And then one constructs various hand signs, symbols, gestures, and touches various parts of the body. This is some sort of blessing of those parts of the body. And then that's the fifth one. And then the sixth is just taking pride in being that deity. Now pride means realizing that oneself is the I that is designated to this divine mind and body. One is this divine I that is merely designated to mind and body. So that divine pride actually serves as an antidote to the conception. Now what's different, what's uncommon in the stage of generation, is that when you meditate on emptiness, you go through these eight signs of death. You practice the eight signs of death. In other words, the stage of generation is just like Action Tantra, you could say in a certain sense, Deity Yoga and so forth. But what's added in is the meditation on contemplation of the eighth sign of death. Then when you arise out of it, you are taking this mind of clear light as a yogi, you're pretending to, unless you've actually done it, unless you've actually done it, and you're really in the state of completion. See, the state of completion is just actually doing all these things. So then, in the state of generation, you're pretending to then take this mind of clear light and appear in some form. Now, the form is usually first in the same form of a letter or something like that. That letter then stands for the complete enjoyment body and stands for the purified state of the intermediate state. See, instead of going back through the eight signs, you take merely the mind of clear light and you cause it to manifest as a letter or as a mass of light or many different things. And this is said to be like a complete enjoyment body. And then in time, that appears in the form of a deity, which is said to be like an emanation body. So that's how death is brought to the path. It's brought to the path within deity yoga. And there are special features within the stage of generation of Hayasova Tantra beyond that. But this is the big point, that the process of death, auto rebirth are used, but there's a similitude of them that's used in the path. You know, there are little things like meditating on a tiny drop. You know, I don't know how big tiny is, but something like, even if it's as big as that, meditating on a mandala inside a Buddha, dasa, bodhisattvas, and so forth, right? Inside a very small thing. There are very unusual sorts of meditation, but some of that occurs in apparently yoga tantra also. So there has been in the process of death, there's been a movement up of the red constituent, right? A movement down of the white. And then death itself is the joining of these two and staying there. But then when you finish the clear light, these, you know, continue their movement. So then the red is coming out the top and the white's coming out the bottom. And this is something that you can see. Now, I believe Lhasa Rinpoche said that what comes out is not the indestructible drop at the heart, but a coarse manifestation. So, you know, Rinpoche was saying a lot of people worry nowadays about being carted away at the time of death. He's saying, I mean, he put it in context. He said, I don't think you should worry about it. I don't think I should worry about it. I don't think Ben should worry about it. I don't think you should worry about it. Because there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to cut you away, they're going to cut you away. So, you know, that's that side of Shantideva's quote. And the other side is, there is something that you can do now that will help. Don't open that door. There is something that you can do now that will help. And that's to, you know, start practice. So that at the time of death, you will have some practice to do, whether it's the best, middle, and below. And he said, you will have to go through the signs of death. Even if you've been manhandling, they're going to have to come sooner and so forth. Well, that's, you know, he's making the best out of a bad situation, okay? He's not saying that there won't be any fault. He's saying there is some fault, but there is something we can do, right? And otherwise there's nothing you can do about it anyway. Unless, of course, you can change the customs of the country. I remember what I said in the Dalai Lama said was that it doesn't make any difference for an ordinary being because that person's death is so messed up anyway. Very tough statement. But for somebody who is meditating, it does. Because it gives you the leisure then to be reminded and to engage in practices and so forth. So indeed, I hope to be able to change, to contribute to the people in this country who are trying to change what happens to people as they're dying. And indeed, ordinary people, you know, when do you become non-ordinary? Well, in some way, you only become non-ordinary when you reach Tonglen, right? But another way, you become non-ordinary when you're capable of engaging in some meditation at the time of death, right? And for people who are intensely interested in this and want to do something, start now and want to do something about it, they can do it. And there are things they can do. So I would think it would have an effect for such people. But he's like warning people that it's senseless to worry about something you can't do anything about. And you can do a lot by meditating now. So on top of page 56, it talks about the fact that in dissolution, it's a case of the former mind ceasing, becoming non-manifest, and the latter becoming manifest. Not that one thing dissolves into another in the sense that its nature becomes of the nature of this other thing. Now this is to eliminate Sankhya. In other words, even if this has some similarities to Sankhya Yoga, this will be one feature of it that will distinguish it from the Sankhya. And I've wondered, will this different conception help the Buddhists to reach a deeper state? Or is it just a difference in conception? For instance, sometimes in Tantra one imagines a letter or something into which all phenomena dissolve. You know, you actually imagine them dissolving. Well, now that is more on the Sankhya description than it is on just something ceasing, right? Ceasing would mean like it ceased in its own spot. But that's a meditation in order to induce these deeper states that. Right? Then. Okay. Things being memorized. Under Timurin Tambo, the fifth one is Rangyugi Dube Suk, not Suk Humbo. We're on today. 315. 315, line 2. In English, we're on page 16.